Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty on this Friday afternoon. No Danny Meringue. He is Nike Hoop Summiting. Will Ortner in for him. As we have our first holdout in the world of college football. University of Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava is holding out. I mean, for lack of a better term, that's exactly what he's doing. Iamaliava is in conversations with the University of Tennessee's collectives about a new NIL contract where he wants to see a pay bump that he was promised an $8 million deal over his 4 years at over $8 million in his 4 years at the University of Tennessee. So that would, his deal would average out to be about $2.4 million per season. And he would, as long as he stayed there, $2.4 million in his pocket every year, move on down the road. Well, he saw guys like Carson Beck get big paydays and Darian Mensah at Duke get a big payday, and now is going back to Tennessee and saying, I want $4 million a year. And he's not moving off of that number one bit. And Tennessee's going, wait a minute here. We had an agreement. And you played well, you got it. And he's saying, I got you to the college football playoff, guys. But there's still a lot of room to grow for the quarterback.
A lot of room to grow.
And he was one of the big issues in that game against Ohio State in the college football playoff.
In the games that they lost, the issue was him. And it's not that he's a bad quarterback, because remember, he's what, 20? He's not even 21 yet.
I think he was a
Is he 19? Is he still freshman. A teenager? I thought he redshirted, and so that was his redshirt year. And I could be wrong on that, but
yeah, no, he did. He had a redshirt freshman year where he played.
Okay,
yeah.
So he played last year at 19. He'll be 20 this upcoming year. He played fine this year. He played fine, but you saw him take advantage of the lesser teams. And when you played in big games, they didn't win because of him. They won despite him. And I remember when the Oklahoma game happened early on in the year, right? You're on the road. It's his first real test as a starting QB. Mm-hmm. In the first three games of the year, Tennessee looked like a wagon. They were a juggernaut. And then you saw him in that game, and he got sacked a couple times. He had a couple turnovers. I want to say that he had a rushing touchdown. But that Tennessee offense went from explosive to more of, hey, we're just going to control the football. We're going to run the ball. We have a great O-line. We have a great running back. We're going to trust those guys to take care of this. And a lot of people at the time thought, well, that's just because Oklahoma has a good defense. They didn't want to, you know, set up Nico. They knew they could win. They didn't need to risk having Nico get hurt. And then as the year kept going on, you kind of learned, Nico's a fine quarterback, but he's not the reason that they're going to win football games. You go through his stats. He had 19 touchdowns last year. 11 of them came against Chattanooga, UTEP, and Vandy. 9 passing touchdowns in the SEC. 4 of them came against Vandy. So as good as he was, and his stats show that he's a good QB, there's a little bit of fool's gold there with at least what he showed last year. He can take steps forward, and I fully believe he will. But I don't know that he's a $4 million a year QB.
Well, I don't know if anybody thinks that there should be $4 million a year quarterbacks in college football, but that's kind of the world that we live in right now. And what he is looking at is they went to the college football playoff in his first year as a starter. And in Knoxville, Tennessee, beating the University of Florida and the University of Alabama in the same year is a big deal. That is a big deal. And then you want to throw Vandy in, which they always beat Vandy, but whatever. But you throw in, they have four main rivals at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
They are Florida, Bama, Georgia, and Vandy. Now, they did not beat the Georgia Bulldogs, right?
Right.
It was on the road this year, but he beat Florida and Bama in back-to-back weeks. And it doesn't matter where those programs are. Very few quarterbacks in the history of University of Tennessee have beaten Florida, Bama, and Vanderbilt in the same season.
He helped put you back on the map.
So there are major markers, and when you think of inflated ego and how people are viewing him in Knoxville, look, there's a lot of reason why he's probably feeling himself. But make no mistake about it, this young man in his recruiting process, it was largely tied to NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And this is that slippery slope of some of these young guys are getting bad advice. And this is bad advice to hold out of spring ball in a year where you can build off of it. And is spring ball the biggest deal? No. This is usually the time where veterans, especially in the trenches, they get their surgeries, they get healthy, they get ripe, and you go back in. But it's rapport with your receivers. It is commitment to the team. And this is going to be the biggest deal, is that can you be a leader in a collegiate locker room when you're holding out like this? Because he is making exponentially more money than anybody else on that team. And the hierarchy in college sports is not set like the NFL is right now. In the NFL, you never talk about another man's money. You never get in the way. And there's an understanding, hey, if we have a guy who holds out, he's got to think about him.
Mm-hmm.
That is not as pervasive in the world of college athletics yet. Will it be someday? Maybe.
I don't know.
But this is our first college football holdout because he's missing spring practices now in order to negotiate a new deal with the Tennessee Collective.
I also think it's a little bit different, too, than with the NFL. Because, yeah, you have to build the rapport. And, you know, we're not that far removed from playing in spring ball, like you had said, right? Guys, hey, this is when you get your surgeries. This is when you work your way back slowly. All the time, there are guys who know that they're going to be starters that, hey, you're only going to practice if we have 15, you're going to practice in 10 of them, and you're only going to actually hit in 5 of them. That happens all the time. That's not where Nico is, though. Because again, we just went through it. He's had one full year as a starter. He's going to be 20 years old. He needs spring ball. And in this day and age, with the amount of transfers that come in, you need spring ball as a quarterback because you can work through those passing progressions in that 7-on-7. You can work on that timing and creating that timing with transfer wide receivers or young wide receivers. Because again, the weakness of Tennessee last year is typically in a Josh Heupel offense, the strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's the speed of the offense and the passing game. And that's not where it was. Now, did they win football games? Yes, but I'd make the argument that the big football games they won was because of how good that defense was. That defense, even after the injury to their star linebacker, Pele, did I get his name right? They were second, third best in the SEC. They were awesome. And so if that defense is going to take a step back, and I think they will because they're losing guys to the NFL draft, they need that offense to step up. And you can't do that when your number one QB is not at spring ball. I'm interested to see how this all plays out because I don't know that the college kids are going to react as well as a pro athlete when it comes to getting their money. There's jealousy.
And reality also is this isn't just a Nico issue at Tennessee.
Right.
This also is the head coach and the people that are running the collective in their messaging to him, right? You never want it to get to this point, right, where it gets contentious. And whether it is a lack of funds that they have or it's a hard line that they're drawing, it has gotten to this point. This is not just a Nico Iomaliava situation. It is the whole of what is going on there to get it to this point where he's not practicing. And this is also an issue that I have with the NCAA's window in the transfer portal. I do think that the portal is good to have, but we need to narrow down these portal dates.
Yep.
And using the portal as a threat to transfer after spring ball, that is not a good thing. And I've long said that the portal should be open for a finite amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do it at times that screw up the rhythm of a season, a la in between the college football playoff and the end of the regular season ending. That should not be a time the portal is open.
Right.
Right. I
mean, you're seeing it right now in hockey. They're complaining about it in the Frozen Four.
It should be after the season is completed. And then you should have a summer portal window where it's not just right after spring ball ends, but a little bit after at the beginning of that summer period. But right now, the portal is being used as a hostage in the situation of their star quarterback at Tennessee and the university with his collective. We have our first college football holdout. Surely this will not be the last.
No.
It will not be the last.
Especially if he gets paid, if he gets the money that he wants or gets close to it, I think more guys will do it. I just want this out there as well. I'm looking at his stats right now. He had two games in the SEC where he threw for over 200 yards. Vandy and Kentucky.
Yikes. All right. Well, it's something to keep an eye on and something to keep track of, as I hope this does not become the trend. And I hope that, rightfully so, this is viewed as a bad move across the landscape of college football, because I think if we have a guy that gets dragged for it, and that sucks that this young man's going to have to be the sacrificial lamb for it, but he is getting some bad advice from somewhere to get it to this point. And that's the way these things can kind of get curtailed. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. We got Noah Eagle coming up in about 14 minutes from now. Coming up next, though, a name has emerged in the Denver Nuggets head coaching vacancy, and I'm not sure we should take it very seriously. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a while. Odd report coming out last night from somebody that is not widely known or regarded in the NBA circles. Sean Wright, who has the Twitter handle Sean Wright NBA.
Are you saying Sean was wrong?
He is the author of the book Right is Right, so I don't want to say he's wrong. But he had a tweet last night breaking: UConn head coach Dan Hurley and the Denver Nuggets have mutual interest in the Nuggets head coaching position. Sources tell me Hurley is expected to meet with the Nuggets brass soon.
What does that mean? They have mutual interest in each other. So they're both willing to talk to each other?
Yeah. I can tell you this. Woody Page from Around the Horn fame in Denver Post, he just replied to this wrong.
I love Woody Page.
But it would be interesting. And remember, this is going to be what Dan Hurley has to deal with every single year. When you are the preeminent coach in college basketball, you are going to be linked to NBA jobs and making the jump. Remember, though, last year, after back-to-back national titles, where his two best players were off to the NBA and lottery picks, and Steph Castle and Donovan Clingan, he did not leave. He stuck around, and there were overtures. Remember the Lakers? He turned down the Lakers.
Yep.
And said, no, I'm staying at UConn. Also, I don't know if there might be a worse person to replace a coach that was seen as a red ass with than Dan Hurley.
Right.
I don't know. Like, Dan Hurley is an amazing college basketball coach. I don't know if what he does translates to the NBA whatsoever.
I would think that it wouldn't. And also, in that situation, like, it seems like they're bringing in, or at least the issue that Calvin Booth hated was that Malone didn't develop the young players. And now I know that they're moving on from Booth at the GM spot, but with everything that's been going on with Jamal Murray injury-wise, Russell Westbrook, it kind of seems like that's untenable, like he's going to be gone. It's going to be Jokic. You're hoping that Jamal is there, but if he's not, and young guys. Dan has done well at UConn, and he has developed players, but he's also not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And when you're recruiting, the dirty little secret is you can go get your guys. You can't necessarily do that in the NBA because sometimes your guys sign with other teams.
Yeah, and this is Dan Hurley, from a developmental standpoint, would be good. But it is, how does he work alongside Nikola Jokic, which he would draw everything up in the world for Jokic. And I think he and Jokic would actually, oddly, work really well together.
I don't know.
But the whole Calvin Booth with being upset with Michael Malone about developing young players, he quite literally developed Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray.
And Porter Jr.
And Michael Porter Jr. Like, he was really good. He just didn't want to do that again and again and again when you have the pieces to go and win now. And the moves that he made to bring in a guy like Westbrook, come on, what are we doing here?
Well, and then it sounds like he just kind of let Westbrook do what Westbrook wanted because he's like, well, he's a former MVP, he's a former star, and guys are looking at him like, well, he isn't now. I think that Dan Hurley is just going to turn into the new guy the, every year that is
the new coach,
in the conversation.
Coach K, John Calipari, Rick Pitino, they went through this. This happens all the time. Billy Donovan for a lot of years until he actually made the jump. And like, it happens all the time.
I don't see Hurley ever making the jump. I don't think his coaching style would work in the NBA, and I think he knows that. Like, why would you go and make that move when you can do whatever you want at UConn?
A guy that seemingly has a lack of awareness has a lot of awareness, and I don't see this being a move that Dan Hurley would make. All right, let's get to it. Noah Eagle will be on the call for NBC on the Nike Hoop Summit. He will join us next. First, though, is Rust, and he's got a Masters Leaderboard sports update.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up tomorrow, right here in our own backyard at the Moda Center, is the 2025 Nike Hoop Summit. It'll also be televised on the USA Network and streamed on Peacock. And calling the action for the men's game is play-by-play voice for NBC Sports, Noah Eagle, joining us again. What's going on, man?
What's happening? Everything is good over here in PDX. Good to be here, guys.
All right. So you've been to Eugene. You've called games in Eugene. How many times have you been to Portland before?
Several, actually. When I was working with the Clippers, we would go twice a year. Mm. And so, I mean, start doing the math twice a year, 4 years. So it was a frequent stop, and I always enjoyed Moda Center. It was a great energy in there, and certainly when the team was playing well, the fans responded. So you could tell the basketball in this town is very much a passion, and I always appreciate that of any city I go to.
All right, so do you, as a play-by-play guy, and you're bopping around the country, do you figure out your go-tos in each city?
I think that's ever changing in some respects. There's some places that you find one or two and you're like, I got to go here every time. But yeah, you always want to explore. So I don't really know if I have one here to answer the follow-up question of all of it. But if you have recommendations, I'm always open.
Well, it's about what you like, because we got good food here. That's one thing we do have, is we have good restaurants here. So it's like what you're in the mood for. And we can help you out with that. If you have a hankering for something, we can give you some recs. But the Ringside is a great steakhouse, which is actually closed temporarily because they had a fire in their kitchen the other day. But good steakhouse is El Gaucho is downtown in a really good one. It's probably around the area that you're staying in. So, you know, we can help you out no matter what. But, yeah, if you need any recs, just hit us up. We'll let you know. We got the Hoop Summit coming up, though. This is a great event. We call it a gem in our city because the best talent in the world ascends on Portland, and we get Team USA versus the world. What have you, as you started diving into this matchup of the Hoop Summit, what kind of sticks out to you as this event is really special, and now we got some legacy names with an Anthony and Boozers coming through?
Yeah, and not to mention Ariza as well. So you've got certainly a number that are going to be familiar names on the back of the jersey. I think for me, what excites me about this is it's going to be a who's who, not just on the court, but off the court. And so obviously those guys that you mentioned, Carmelo Anthony, Carlos Boozer, and Trevor Ariza are all going to be here supporting their children. But I just have heard from so many people around the basketball world and certainly the NBA world that are going to be in attendance. And I love that. I go to NBA Summer League just about every year. Mm-hmm. And the best part about NBA Summer League is that it's a one-stop shop to see everybody that you grew up idolizing or anybody that you can think of in the world of basketball or media or any of it. And this feels similar just from what I've gathered. And I love that aspect of it. So it's cool that we get to see these top-tier talents on the court together. You don't know if you're ever going to get that again where they all go off to college or the pros, and who knows if they ever get to suit up together again. But for this one night, at least, we get to see them all on the court together, and I always find that to be special.
Noah, as the world team kind of comes over to the U.S., who are some of the players that fans should be on the lookout for that they haven't gotten a chance to see as you know they go through their version of the high school ranks in whatever country that they're coming from?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting because there are certain guys that will find their way into college. And so one of those guys was a later add, but David Mirkovich mm-hmm. is going to be at Illinois next year. And Illinois has done a really good job of going out and recruiting Europe. We saw it this year with Kasper Šljakačonis, who's in all likelihood going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. They brought in Tomislav Ivicic. Now his brother Zvonimir has transferred from Arkansas to Illinois. And they're going to bring in Mirkovic as a freshman this year. They just have such a great track record now with these Europeans that I'd expect him to be a legitimate player moving forward. On top of that, the other one that's intriguing to me is Dame Sarr, who comes from Italy. And he had been playing with FC Barcelona. And there was a bit of controversy because he badly wanted to play in this Nike Hoop Summit, badly. And so he decided, I'm going to go. But FC Barcelona didn't necessarily give him the permission to go. So he left without their word. And now they had to put out a public statement. And the reason that they're being so protective is I don't think they want him to be seen at this level. I think that they believe he's a diamond in the rough. He's an up-and-coming stud from Italy, and they're trying to protect their own product and protect their own asset. And so I'm curious what he looks like now on the court with all of these others that we've mentioned. But Team World's going to have both Kyan Anthony and Taj Ariza, two guys who have obviously made their mark here in America and have done it at the high school level, at the highest level. So excited to see the blend of the guys coming over along with the ones that have already made some real noise here in the States.
Noah Eagle is our guest. He'll be on the call for Team USA versus the world in the Nike Hoop Summit coming up tomorrow in Moda Center. Coverage starts with the women's game at 4 o'clock on the USA Network in Peacock, and then the men's game will tip off at 7 o'clock local time as Team USA and the world go head-to-head. Look, next year you get NBA on NBC, and you will be part of the coverage of the NBA on NBC's. Is basketball your favorite sport to be calling? Because you've done football, both college, NFL, you've done the Olympics, you've done tennis. You've kind of run the gambit of calling sports. What is your favorite sport to call on TV?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's like asking to choose your favorite child at the end of the day. It's not a simple just, oh, yeah, Jimmy is number one. Although I'd like to think my sister might have bested me in our own family rankings. But if you're forcing my hand and you're saying it's this or you don't exist, Basketball, it was always a passion of mine, and the NBA in particular was a huge passion of mine growing up. I was going to Nets games when they were 12 and 70. I might have attended 14 of those games because I was a sicko, and I wanted to see Ejan Liang and Jarvis Hayes and Courtney Lee go to battle and see what happened. And they would lose by 25, and I was enjoying every second of it. So, yeah, there was something about the NBA that enchanted me, probably the fact that I could never be that big or strong or athletic, and I just was always in awe of what these guys were doing. And then getting more and more involved with it over the last several years, it's only grown that passion even further. So I love it. I mean, the Olympic experience was incredible, and I'm excited to now add the Hoop Summit to this list because it's just another experience in a sport that I thoroughly enjoy, no matter where it is.
We talked to you before, what was it, Oregon, Ohio State, I believe, is before you came here for Autzen Stadium, and you said you were excited to hear how loud Autzen got. What was your feeling of Autzen Stadium and the University of Oregon when you came here?
That place is insane. Legitimately insane. It somehow exceeded the expectation because the expectation was set so high because Todd Blackledge told me how great it was. And if he's saying it, then it must be true considering he's been literally everywhere that college football could take you. And I really do think it went above what he even describes. The fact that 60,000 people could make that much noise, it just didn't compute in my head. You know, we go to Penn State and we go to Michigan and we go to Ohio State, and those places have 110,000 fans. I've been to an Auburn football game. They have 100,000 fans. It just hits different. I don't know what it is about the configuration. We talked about it, but how smart that fan base is. They know exactly when to get loud. They know exactly how to make their presence felt. But it was great. We were there for two of the games this year, and both of them, the Ohio State game and then, of course, the rivalry at the end against Washington, they showed it out big time. And so I'm looking forward to going back next year.
No, I know that Dusty told you that he would help you out with some food places, but since we're basically the same age, if you need some better food spots, and by better, I mean more age-appropriate food spots, you can feel free to just hit me up. Dusty will give you my number. Dusty's going to send you to the fancy schmancy spots. Man. You want the young spots. You want to be hanging out with the youngs like us.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think that was really, really well said, despite the fact that I've been told I have the mind of a 62-year-old, so we'll just find a way to balance that out.
We'll get you into some trouble and some safe spots. Yeah. It'll be good.
Yeah. Nice. Yes, I like that.
All right, I've got a question for you. This is like the inside the business and inside the family here. My dad, I grew up, he was a football coach, so my dad and I often talk football X's and O's, and we do a lot of that. Your dad is an accomplished broadcaster in his own right. Do you guys workshop at all? Like, is the family dinner table workshopping some of the stuff, or the text thread of the family workshopping what you'll say? Because your dad dropping a championship when the Florida Gators win the championship, it was elite. It was elite. Is that part of the Eagle family text thread?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been over the years where you just kind of spitball one topic after the other and you say, rock attack. Oh, that's good. I think you should go with that one. And then I think he wanted to go with the championship. He enjoyed maybe extending it further. You know, I think he wanted to go chomp championship. I said, no, it's cleaner if you just go one, just singular. So he cut it out. And I think my mom and sister eventually are like, what did we get ourselves into? Mom, what did I marry into? What did I conceive in all of this? But no, it's, you know, I think the cool thing about both of us being in it is there are moments where maybe a highlight that neither of us is doing comes on and one of us thinks of something and the other one just says, oh, that would have been good if that could have been said in that moment. But a lot of it is just instinctual. And if you say it, great. If not, you probably regret it, like George Costanza with the jerk store comment. It's all of that stuff. So it's all natural in the moment, but it's definitely nice to have him as a sounding board every now and then.
Is there anyone that you have had holstered maybe that you thought of and you never got to use?
Yeah, there are certainly some over the years. I would have to really think about it. I think I have to have a short memory. You know, a lot of times what happens is two things. I think a lot of people think, well, you must have come up with all of that stuff ahead of time. A lot of the times, no. A lot of the times it just is something either you think of in the moment, or what mostly happens is maybe it'll be a first quarter of a basketball game and I'll say something that'll spark a different thought. And then I'll say to myself, okay, well, I need to save that one for if there's a crazy run or if something wild happens, I need to use it then. And that's what ends up happening, where you're saving and saving and saving, and then the game becomes a 20-point blowout, and you're like, well, I can't use it now. So that's more common, and I don't know if I can think of concrete examples, but I certainly have had moments where I've gone home, and I'm like, man, that would have been fun.
Do you ever look over at your dad and be like, hey, I'm making you cool again. Like, I'm helping you with some of this stuff. I'm making you sound young. Because you can hear it on the broadcast where, I mean, shoot, just look at the text message he sent over to J.J. Watt. There's no way he knew about the Sarasota water and the banana peel and the morning routine. That's you telling your dad that.
Ah, listen, you'd be shocked by his morning routine.
Oh, like, yeah?
Steroid. Well, he might actually be on steroids. Aston Hall on a secondary beaver tranquilizer. But I give him credit. You know what? He stays up to date. He's got burner accounts everywhere. No one will ever find them. That's the biggest key. Like, everyone always comes up to me and they said, when do you get your dad on Twitter? You can get your dad on Instagram and TikTok. I go, he's got all of it. You just don't know it. And you never will. He's made several chats. He's had several chats where he's gone back to schools, colleges, high schools, and people have gone up and said, what if I find your account? Will you follow back? And he says, go ahead and try. And nobody has done it yet. It's truly a remarkable feat. So I just give him credit for somehow staying that level of incognito.
That is Iron Eagle being the Easter egg or being the egg emoji on Twitter. That is going to live in my brain rent-free forever. Yeah. And a morning routine.
So the big key is that he doesn't post anything. He's never posted one thing. It's literally just so he can lurk. It's stalking ability.
Yeah. They're sitting there going, this must be a bot. This has got to be a bot. But no, it's the morning routine of Iron Eagle. That's great, man. Hey, we know you're busy. You got a lot of stuff to do here, but we really appreciate the time. You'll be on the call of the Nike Hoop Summit tomorrow, 7 o'clock, USA Network and Peacock. Team USA versus the world at the Nike Hoop Summit. Noah, thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate it, and we'll catch you in Eugene at a Duck game, hopefully, this fall.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks,
there Noah. He is. Noah Eagle, play-by-play voice for NBC Sports, USA Network, Peacock. That's where you can find the Nike Hoop Summit. Look, if the talent in the... We went through like some of the alumni that have played in this game,
yeah,
which is basically your all-NBA teams of the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't get you out there or to watch this game, they're bringing out their big guns, too, on the broadcasting side.
Yes,
where
they
you
are.
Noah Eagle, Robbie Hummel on the broadcast as well, who I think does a phenomenal job breaking down the game. So this is a big-time event, man, and it is a gem in our city. Like, I don't think people really understand. To have this here, thanks, Nike, the swoosh, bringing everything here, and to have it in our own backyard, a very cool event where – AJ DeBonsa, who's going number one recruit in the country, going to BYU. He's playing in this game. Cam Boozer, Chris Sinak, Kyan Anthony, Carmelo Anthony's son. We got an Ariza here. And then there's a women's game before where Jazzy Davidson from Clackamas High School, one of the top recruits in the country, who is going down to USC next year. She's going to be playing in the women's game prior to the men's game. So it's a doubleheader that starts at 4:30, I think, is when the women's game tips off. Men's game follows immediately after that at 7 o'clock. Really cool event. And appreciate Noah for coming on, man. It was really awesome to have him on. He's a rare breed, man, where you have these guys that have so much success early in their career, mm-hmm. and then they pop and normal dude. normal dude.
You can tell too that he is definitely an old soul to drop a Costanza joke in there, and I did get it. I did understand.
Hey, good for you, man.
I've got a couple Costanza moments in there. I've got a little bit of Seinfeld, but yeah, I don't think he wants any of my food recommendations. He wants all of yours.
Yeah,
I tried to play it as young.
But
I was trying to make a friend.
You're going to take him to Jack in the Box.
No, I would not take him to Jack in the Box.
And I'm not going to send him fancy schmancy. Like El Gaucho Ringside, if he wants a steak, those are nice places to go. We got plenty of really good restaurants here.
I was going to take him to some dive bars.
You're going to take him to the A-Crop for steak tips.
I would never do that.
They're steak bites.
Steak bites,
sir.
Excuse me.
I would never. I would never sully Noah Eagle with many of our illustrious dancing establishments. Would never do that.
Well, who knows? He might be vegan and you could take him to Casa. You know? I mean, there's.
I don't know.
You got both here.
I don't know that that's. I don't think that's a spot he'd like.
No, I don't think so either. I think that you would be trouble taking him around town.
I think we would have a good time. I don't. I think we'd be a good time. I think it'd be a good time. He would enjoy it.
All right.
I don't know that we'd become best friends, but I think he'd enjoy his time with me.
It'd end up in like a hostage situation, I think.
No, he would. No, no.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Nike Hoop Summit coming up tomorrow. And Noah Eagle allotting a little bit of time for us. Great stuff on not just the Hoop Summit, but, you know, rave reviews from Autzen Stadium. Living up to the hype, exceeding the expectations that Todd Blackledge set forth. All right, let's get back on track. We got a worst day on the web. This is the time where we have worst day on the web. We're going to go next. It's getting gnarly out there. It's hard. Danny and Dusty and the Fan.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
All right, now time for the worst day on the web, as it's going to be rapid fire because we went along with Noah Eagle of NBC Sports. Are you familiar with what orcas have been doing lately, killer whales?
I'm aware that we try and put them in captivity and then they hurt the trainers.
That's like the trainers so died. 15 years ago. No, we've evolved past that. We've stopped doing that.
We don't do that. Are you
sure? We've bullied SeaWorld out of that now.
So SeaWorld, okay, but just because SeaWorld doesn't do it doesn't mean that we don't do it.
You're doing it?
I'm not a big swim guy. That doesn't, like, other countries might do it.
Okay.
I mean, we've asked places to stop killing whales and they still do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're still doing it at SeaWorld, but I believe that they're not going to bring any more in.
So as long as you're already in captivity.
Yeah. I think that's
it's fine.
I think that's correct.
What if you're born into captivity?
I don't know.
So then I kind of think we are still doing it. I think you hit me with fake news.
Well, we have the orcas here, and they've been sinking boats out in the water. You know, they've been going after boats and trying to take them down.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we've seen that.
They're revolting.
Well, they're now turning into Florida whales.
What?
Yeah, this is a little terrifying. They've been known to go out in the Gulf of Mexico every now and then and, like, make their way through there. But they're getting pretty deep into the Gulf of Mexico now, which is new. And orcas, the killer whales, kind of jerks of the ocean. Because right now, down in Florida, they've got videos that are out there of these bad boys are now, like, ganging up on other whales in the ocean and taking them out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well,
they're expanding their footprint and saying, "Nah, we ain't having any of this. We're going to come get you now."
In a shocking development, the animal that's called the killer whale is out here being the bully of the sea. But my question is,
they're coming for your boats. They're coming for the other whales. Now, dolphins, also, they've got a really good rap. And Free Willy really changed how we view killer whales. But the dolphins, they just have great PR. Flipper was the best thing that ever happened.
They're bad, and they're smart, too, so they know what they're doing. But again, my question with the killer whale, what did the other whales do to deserve it? Like, what if the killer whales were getting trash talked and then they just beat up the other whales? That's not on the killer whale entirely.
Here's the deal, though. It's very rare in the Gulf, and when you do, it's usually like a hobo whale, like a riding the rails type whale, right, where he's like off on his own doing his own thing.
Yeah.
This is a pod. We've got
a pod of killer whales.
Now, yeah.
A biker gang of killer whales?
Well, I think all of them are. Yeah, there's 267 killer whales in the Gulf, but now they're moving their territory closer to like Louisiana. Instead of just staying.
Cajun killer whales?
They're going up, yeah.
We could get some real issues then.
But if they come close enough, do we get gators versus whales?
I'd be down to see a gator versus whale. Who wins in a gator versus whale?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait for the Sci-Fi Channel movie for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whale NATO?
Orca Gator NATO? Dude, watch out now.
Orcas versus gators.
What I'm trying to say here is, the last population of Americans that needs to be tempted by an orca are the people of Florida. The dead last of who you want to be finding a new war is Florida man versus killer whale.
I can just picture Florida man standing out there like Lieutenant Dan daring the ocean waves to come get him.
100%.
See, I see man trying to ride an orca.
Yes, they're going to go out there in their jorts, and they're going to hop off of their little dinghies, their little fishing boats that have an outboard motor on the back, and they're just going to be out there cruising the waters and just YOLO dive off of their boat to ride a whale. This is going to end poorly for Florida man.
Or it'll end perfectly. Like,
natural selection is a thing.
100%. I taught about it yesterday. What would be the most, like, I think Florida man might brag about the fact that they got to ride an orca, and then more Florida men would try to ride said orcas, which then might help us remove some of Florida men from the gene pool.
Yeah. Also, I know there is some confusion on the fan text line. Gulf of Mexico, also Gulf of America. Okay.
No.
So maybe that's why they're going there?
No.
Oh.
They're like, hey, America, it's expanding.
Now they're in. Now they're in.
Is this all part of Trump's master plan?
To get the orcas into the Gulf.
We change the name.
All right.
And then we push the orcas over there.
It's branding. Branding has helped.
You know what they're doing? They're protecting the waters.
I have concepts of a plan.
We're using them. Us Americans, we're using them.
You know what?
Our first line of defense against hurricanes.
Who needs the Coast Guard anymore? Who needs the Coast Guard when
not
we got
us.
Killer whales? All right.
Sending our
this is all going to be like coming back to, no, these are trained whales, and that's how the cartels are bringing their drugs into the country. They're just attaching them to the whales now.
They're all paid actors.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Trouble in Paradise, a cryptic Instagram post. Oh, no. But from an odd person to do this. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.